Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to Neutral Game, your newbie-friendly fighting game podcast. I'm Six Detmar from Scanline Media.
And I'm Miro Kovacic from RealSovietBear.sh. I don't have the domain. Nobody buy the domain. I just realized that I never...
.zone.
Oh, God, that's probably really expensive. I actually wanted to buy .moe because that's a domain, but it's at a premium, so it's really expensive. But also .moe is a really good domain extension. Also, anyway, hello.
I think dot bike isn't very expensive. You could probably get a dot bike.
Dot bike?
Dot bike.
I mean, there's also dot me, which is from Montenegro. That's also good for, like, personal websites. We aren't actually sponsored, but if we were, this would be a really good opportunity to give you your sponsor message.
Squarespace.
No, don't give them press until they give us money. I don't even reference them by name. Call them Triangle Area instead of Squarespace.
So we're back again. Oh my god, we're back again, brothers, sisters, everybody say. That's the intro of Backstreet Boys song, Everybody. But we're back because we want to talk about Tekken, y'all.
We want to talk a little bit about Tekken. Mostly because it's a bit of a dry period right now in terms of fighting games, and we've been playing some Tekken.
Yeah, it's going to heat up. We got some stuff coming up. So I can be honest now. I was really civilized when we did our Tekken episode. I was really like a decent human being, which was an achievement because at that time, Tekken was one of my least favorite games, period.
I mean... I doubt it is now, because you played Mortal Kombat 11.
There's that. But also, yeah, I've also started to come around on Tekken, hence our revisiting. So, at that time, I didn't like pretty much anything about Tekken. I didn't like its characters, I didn't like the way it played, I didn't like its story, I didn't like the fact that it didn't teach you anything, and guess what? It still doesn't. But Tekken 7 was a well-made game. And tried to give it props for that. You got a little more into it at the time.
Yeah, I played it a bit more because there was a scene at my workplace, and then I got it on a bundle. I think it was like actually just a Namco bundle, and I got it there with a season pass, and then I played it a bit with people in my Discord.
So what occasion has brought us back to Tekken 7, besides, as we mentioned, you know, being a little slow right now?
Well, I usually play Guilty Gear at work now, but then the person I play Guilty Gear with got sick of it, mostly because they were looking up all the stuff that was announced about Strive in terms of mechanical changes, and they like almost all of them. So now when they play regular Guilty Gear, they're like, oh man, I hate this, I'm glad they're fixing it. So we play Tekken instead. And that was fun. We played it for a few weeks, and that kind of got me into it. And then I played it with some people in Discord. And I also wanted to play it at MacFest, so I practiced a bit for that. I didn't get to play too much there, but it was mostly just that, just a few different circumstances.
For me, it was a couple of things. One was that one of my friends got really into Tekken, went to their first ever local for Tekken. And it was like, well, I mean, you know, I want to encourage my friends getting into fighting games, so I guess I'll give this another shot. Another element was just, the competitive scene. To me, I started to get more engaged with it. I think this is actually a natural result of when, like, for a long time watching Tekken, it sort of just looked like Tekken to me, right? Like, my eyes kind of glazed over. I couldn't really see the nuance of the combat very much. But adding some of the guest characters like Akuma and Geese, who play very differently, made the contrast between them and the other characters really obvious, and it made it more interesting for me to watch. Like watching, what's his name? The guy from, I think it's from Pakistan?
It's Arslan Ash.
I know who you mean. I cannot remember the name.
Six is trying to think of Arslan Ash.
Yeah, but I feel bad. I like that guy.
Yeah, I just said it.
But he was playing like a Geese in tournament, and watching that Geese was like, oh man, this is like I understand Geese as a character, so I'm seeing Geese be Geese, but I'm also seeing how Geese integrates into Tekken, and it gave me a better understanding of Tekken. And so based on those things, I decided it was time to go back to Tekken, and Tekken did not stand still while we were gone. Tekken has continued to change.
Yeah, it's up to its third season, which is, in my mind, unacceptable, because DOA has been out for less than a year, and it's already in season 4, so I don't know, get it together, Harada. No, I'm joking. They're really pacing it and filling it with very nice content, because they've added the new character, fan favorite Leroy.
Yeah, fighting for his neighborhood, breaking the game balance and immediately getting patched.
No surprises there.
Yeah, no, we've gotten... Yeah, you know, it's just how it goes sometimes, you know. I am honestly surprised we don't get that more often. I feel like in other competitive spaces that's more common than in fighting games, but still in fighting games it's fairly common when new characters come out and they're just completely OP.
I mean, a lot of Tekken characters that they add in season passes are old characters, so they already probably have a feel for them. And then each season, I believe, has like one guest character usually and one original character. So Leroy is, you know, a new character, so with that one I'm not like too surprised. And, you know, the guest characters have dominated the meta for a while, which they were probably kinda okay with, because they didn't patch them immediately. But I guess Leroy was a bit more out there, because you said they patched him quite quickly after release.
Yeah. Yeah, though this, I will note, this season so far, I think there are two new characters, so we are breaking that mold. And no guest yet, this season.
Gunryu is a old character.
Right, but we've got, what's his name?
The big dude with the twos and the
military. Big guy!
The big guy with the name that can really easily be misread in English. Let me actually look it up. I actually want to look that up. There we go.
Fakumram?
Yeah, Fakumram. Which, you know, I'm sure is a legit name in a legit language. It's just that everybody kind of piled up on that, calling him fuck you, Mram, ma'am, I don't know.
Sure. Yeah. No, you know, it's...
He gonna happen. He seems like not super interesting to me in terms of, you know, it's a big dude that does a lot of big damage. I'm kind of like, whatever. I don't really like his design that much. They add Zafina, though. Well, Zafina's pretty wild.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not out yet. Maybe he's going to have a lot of armor and command throws, and then I'll love him.
Yeah, maybe. I won't be happy until they add, like, a third bear. Like, I don't know, a red panda or a sun bear or something.
I think they should have, so they have Kid Kazuya, who's not really in the multiplayer, just in the single player. I want Kid Kazuya with Kid Bear on his shoulder.
Nah, man, they've seen what the kid versions of characters do in Dragon Ball FighterZ. They're not adding kid versions.
Well, with the bear, he'd have extra height.
Oh, you want?
So it's okay, his hitbox wouldn't be completely busted.
Is he, like, riding the bear, or is the bear riding him?
The bear's riding him.
Okay. Well, then maybe I would be okay with it. Maybe it's like a...
There might be a stance where you ride the bear.
Maybe they should be like a puppet character, like Carl in Boom Plays Blue.
Maybe.
Maybe he's actually, like, he's actually playing Tekken Tag while everybody else is playing regular Tekken.
That would be interesting. But dumb ideas aside...
they were great ideas, I'll have you know.
No, I'm not knocking you. I'm knocking both of us. We're just rambling here. But, yeah, also the competitive scene has been good lately. I mean, this is one of those things that, like, I hate that this is true, right? But it is true for me that when Westerners do better in fighting game competitive scenes, I get more interested. Because it's easier for me to get invested in their, like, personalities and stuff. When it's like, you know, like... JDCR versus Nii. Those are great players, but I don't really know them. They're just guys who show up on screen and beat people.
I mean, I like it because it brings more variety. to the game, because we're kind of used to watching anime fighters and we're used to top 10 only Japanese players and stuff like that. So,
sure.
So I feel it's much healthier in general when you have more of a mixed top player base.
Well, and I guess it's also partially just a factor of the Korean FGC just not having a big presence over here. Like, you know, I say that where it's like, oh, you know, it's English players, but it's not really. If you give me, like, you know, a Street Fighter, you know, top whatever that has, like, you know, Fudo and Tokido and these, like, these players, like, I know those players and I know their personalities and I'll be just as passionate about it. The problem is because we don't have much interaction with the Korean FGC, except for when they show up for a tournament, you don't really know who these people are.
It's almost this is how, like, sports works and cheering for your favorite club or country or something goes.
See, that now you're making me get self-conscious about the way I pick favorites, because I tend to pick bitter losers. That's like, I'm an Angels fan in baseball, and that's a team that has all the resources and sucks shit. And then in Dragon Ball FighterZ, I stand Apology Man, so let's not think too hard about that one. But yeah, so we're coming back to the game. I don't know how much has changed for you personally. For me, it's been a lot of finally coming to terms with what Tekken is and getting to appreciate it by having new perspective.
So why don't you tell me what you think Tekken is, because I feel you've gotten different insights from me.
I think the thing that I've figured out is that, like, I mean, I've always known that Tekken doesn't play like other fighting games, but I feel like it's almost a rhythm game where the person who's in charge is setting the rhythm. It's very much about tempo. You're not going for a lot of, like, frame traps and stuff. You do that a little bit with, like, trading jabs, but, like, your bigger moves have a much longer startup and stuff. And it's very much a game about spacing, even though there aren't that many projectiles, and a game about, like, watching an opponent's animation and trying to figure out what move they're doing, because you do have time, like, you know, in most fighting games, when a person hits a button, unless it's an overhead, you have to have known what they did. You can't react to it. But with Tekken, with the big animations and the huge move list, you can sort of start to narrow it down and try and react to what it could be. And that just makes it such a different game.
I mean, that all makes sense to me. For me, it's more that I've learned the value of pokes, because I did not understand initially how important pokes were. And somebody basically told me, like, yeah, you can just, like, win matches just by poking, like, by pressing one or two, aka jab left or jab right. So I tried that. I played online and I tried that, and it's like, oh, this actually works. It was a massive game changer for me, because I just used to, you know, do whatever move I thought was good. I didn't realize that those normals in particular were that strong. So that kind of opened up things to me, but also I realized that I don't actually know how to play Tekken. I've kind of come to terms with that. I know how to play Kuma, and that shows, because the person I play against, usually they can switch between characters much easier than I can, even though, like, they might lose. But I, for the life of me, cannot switch between characters. Like, I have no frame of reference when playing somebody, what I'm supposed to do, how I'm supposed to handle them. Like, it's nothing. And I don't really have... And then that same person that told me that, they have that issue in Guilty Gear. Like, in Guilty Gear, they know how to play Faust, but anytime they play another character, they have no frame of reference. Whereas for me, I kind of understand Guilty Gear on a level where I can immediately see the value of each character's moves when I start playing them. Like, I can say, okay, I know what this is good for, what situations this is good for, and so on and so forth. So I can much easier jump between characters. So I think that's kind of my issue, that I don't have the understanding of Tekken fundamentals. And it's one of those things that, because the game doesn't really direct me in any direction, I have to kind of go on this journey of enlightenment and try and figure it out myself.
I mean, I think that's partially a factor of the character you've chosen, right? And also with your friend, the character they picked in Guilty Gear, or your coworker, because both Kuma and Faust are characters that don't necessarily behave like the rest of the cast. I mean, obviously they still have a lot of the same fundamentals, but they have a gimmick, right? And that gimmick differentiates them from the rest of the cast. And it's not like it's impossible to then pick up another character, but with that gimmick gone, you've got such a large piece of your game plan gone that it feels bad and you don't want to stick with it.
I mean, in Guilty Gear, my main characters that I played with were Venom, Potemkin, and later Bedman, and I played Jacko. So each of them have their own gimmick, but I understand, like, even though I don't play Kai and Soul, I understand kind of like the fundamental systems and how they interact in the game. Like, the characters there are still pretty different.
Sure, but you've been playing Guilty Gear for years. Yeah. I mean, like, there's a certain point. Like, if you kept at this game, you'd learn to play the other characters in Tekken somewhat competently, just basically through, like, osmosis.
Probably. But no, in Tekken, it's more, I kind of know what my character's good at, and if I know my character and the opponent doesn't know my character, I'm at an advantage. But if the opponent knows my character, then my playstyle immediately kind of suffers for it, unless I can, you know, change it up quickly enough to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess is how fighting games work in general, but it's kind of like more pronounced for me in Tekken. Like, as soon as some of my tools don't work, I kind of switch to other gimmicks, but I don't really still understand how the rest of the cast works. I kind of understand how my spacing should work. I kind of know how to, like, move back. I don't know how to do Korean backdashes, but I know how to move back and forth to space myself out properly. I know how to poke now. But if I'm fighting, you know, Miguel, I'm kind of lost.
Well, and I think this is one of those things that's a factor of, like, everyone having so many animations is, like, there's so much data. I mentioned this to you before the podcast a couple of days ago, but there was a pro, one of the Korean pros, who was on Twitter and doing tweets about, like, oh man, I'm learning so much, I'm getting so much better at Tekken, and then not doing great in tournaments. And someone added them and was like, hey, like, I'm not trying to be rude, but how come you say you keep getting better and you're not doing any better? And the pro responded to this and took it, like, fairly seriously as a question and was like, well, the thing about Tekken is there are so many avenues, there's so many ways in which you need to get better at Tekken. I think a good comparison would be, it's like a computer, right? Where you can upgrade your CPU and you can upgrade your graphics card, but if your RAM is still shit, you're still bottlenecked.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many ways to get bottlenecked in Tekken.
Yeah, like we've had rounds where you would do just one move over and over, and I'm like, I don't know what to do against this. And my solution to that is to just not give the opportunity to start doing that move, which is probably the worst way to deal with something like that, but that was the only way I knew.
Sure, but then also, like, I think in the entire time I never found a solution to your, like, what is it, like, hunting stance, like, headbutt? That thing is just a fucking nightmare.
It's just like, I think it's just mid. Like, you just block mid, that's it. And you can punish it.
Yeah, but it's safe on block. I can't do anything about it.
You can punish it. It's just, I probably need to find the exact move you can punish it with, but I always get punished with it on block if people react quickly enough.
Okay, I probably just didn't experiment enough because I was scared.
No, my favorite was when you were negative on super hit. That was my favorite. When you would just do a super and I land next to you and then you just get hit on my wake up immediately.
Yeah, that is one thing that...
So I gotta ask you, did you actually try blocking at any point? Or did you just try to poke me every time?
I tried blocking, yeah.
Okay, because then I don't know what was going on there. So for people who don't understand, Kuma can attack the opponent while they are lying on the ground, including when they get knocked down. And we have a few situations where Six would hit me with Enrage Art and do a lot of damage, and then Kuma lands at the end of the rage yard right next to Six's character. And while Six's character is turning around because they have their back turned because they're being dramatic, I can just, you know, hit for damage immediately.
I you know, obviously the weird circumstances happen in fighting games all the time, and that's fine. But, like, as a rule, I've never seen someone be unsafe upon landing a super. It's bizarre.
I mean, we've played some really old fighting games where you were unsafe on hit.
Sure, but, you know, that was, I don't know.
Those aren't real fighting games.
That was different. That was the magic throw of Casey Jones.
But no, it might just be that Kuma is weird, because there are some situations where when you juggle Kuma next to a wall, usually any character, you just, you know, juggle them and they, you know, they interact normally with you. But with Kuma, you actually have to drop your combo, because if you're too close to the wall while juggling Kuma, you'll clip through Kuma and Kuma will land on his back facing you and immediately just punish you for doing a combo.
Weirdness with that, for sure.
I don't think they even want to fix it, because they don't, like, care about the character. They're more like, oh, okay, somebody won a tournament once. Whoops, I guess that happens.
Yeah. And then I guess the other thing is just, as you mentioned, there's so much, like, because the move lists are so big, and because you can, maybe if you're really good, I can't, like, tell what move someone is doing, but I can kind of narrow it down at the start of the animation, you know? There's enough time for that. And so it's not like other fighting games where it's like, well, characters have all these moves, but you just need to be generally aware of the types of things they can do, where it's like, okay, you need to know they have an overhead or whatever. You need to know that they have a command throw. You actually need to kind of know what the animations for all these goddamn moves are, and it's just so much.
I mean, there are a lot of these moves that you actually can't really react to, like, like Steve's Stomp. It's more, it's kind of a mix of, you need to recognize the animations, and you need to recognize in your matchup at which distance somebody has a specific tool. And it gets really weird. And I still try to play it sometime, like Dead or Alive, and in Dead or Alive, I kind of segment, like, high, mid, and low, and I don't really care that much which move the opponent is doing. I mostly try and assume where do they want to hit me, because it's easier for me to kind of focus on that. And in Tekken, sometimes it works, because, like, oh, I'm generally, if you're on low health, somebody's going to try and sweep you or hit you low. So that's a part that I can predict. But in general, it's, yeah, like, until I see a move, like, 10 times, I'm not even going to know what to do against it.
Yeah.
And it's really, I think it's really weird, because even when I talk to people I play with, you know, or they ask me, like, oh, is that, like, a mid or a low? And I'll be like, I actually don't know. Like, it looks like a low, but I think it's mid. Like, sometimes even if the hit effect is actually, you know, on somebody's toe, it'll be a mid. And you can only really see that in training mode. And sometimes when I ask people about their characters, they'll be like, oh, I'm not 100% sure, I think it's mid.
Yeah, whereas I feel like, I mean, and you know, this just could be a factor of also, again, the size of the move list. But I, like, all the time when you and I are playing other fighting games, I'll land something, and you'll be like, oh, what? And I'll be like, oh, that was a low. Just, like, explaining as you go, because as you play the character, you just get an intuitive sense of, like, you learn how to fight against it. Whereas I feel like in Tekken, I play Armor King and Lily. I don't know how the fuck to fight those guys. Apparently, bear headbutts are really good.
I mean, there's a lot of weirdness, because whenever I play against somebody, so I haven't played against Armor King, but when I play against other characters, if I'm lying on the ground, usually nothing can hit me, because anything that hits me for mitigated damage, because I technically count as lying on the ground. But then King has that jump kick where he hits you with both like feet, and
yeah, the drop kick,
and that hits me, and I've never seen anybody have a move that does that, so that was like, oh, okay, I guess this is how this works.
Yeah, and that was like the kind of the big hang up in that matchup for you, honestly, was because for the most part you could just kind of kick mass, but if I got a knockdown and you were a little bit ways away, just, you know, from the experience, you were like, okay, let me play this from the ground, and I just land a drop kick every time, no problem, because that's just an easy answer for Armor King.
Yeah, and I guess it's like, I guess for me is, I don't know what Tekken's baseline is, if that makes sense. Like, if you have Street Fighter, your baseline is Ryu, right?
Sure.
Or if you play King of Fighters, your baseline is Kyo, and you kind of like know what these baseline characters are. But in Tekken, I don't really understand what the baseline is. Like, I don't think it's necessarily the, you know, protagonists, because they don't feel like they're the baseline. They play, you know, they have their own style. They have their Mishima styles.
I mean, I feel like maybe Jin.
Maybe.
Because he's like, I mean, to me, well, I guess he has the laser these days, doesn't he?
That's Devil Back Jin, in... I think, only.
Oh, okay. Is it? I don't...
There are some like Mishima specific moves, and you know everybody handles unique, and then Jin has some moves that were from Kazuya and some moves that are from what's her face, Jun from Tekken 2.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like you can have the protagonist, but it's like very difficult for me to, you know, ascertain like who is like what is the baseline playstyle. It's kind of like when I played when I played Street Fighter 5, you know, I didn't really understand Street Fighter. I was playing as Lauren, I think her name was, and I didn't understand. Like, I was winning, but I was like, I don't understand why I'm winning. I'm not really learning from this. And then I switched to Ryu, and because that's such a strong baseline, I started learning fundamentals of the game more, and it felt more satisfying. So when I play Tekken, I do feel like I'm progressing with the character, and I do feel like I'm getting results. Like, I make people often like work for their wins. But I still, like, don't really understand, like I said, the baseline for it. I don't know if, you know, if I were to go, like, okay, how do I learn Tekken fundamentals? Like, which character should I pick to learn that? Is there even such a thing in the game?
Yeah, it doesn't really feel like there's a character that represents, like, this is the core of the game, as you say.
Because, like, if you look at the, you know, characters that have been there for a while, they each have a very distinct playstyle. Like, you know, King has very specific moves, Yoshimitsu has very weird stance changes as well. It's just, you know, everybody has their very distinct playstyle. And I guess, like, outside of poking, it's very hard for me to, like, figure out, okay, what is Tekken? You know, is it just spacing and poking? Is that the base game? And then everything else is carried by the actual character movesets?
We need them to add the one true baseline fundamentals character back to Tekken 7. We need Dr. Baskanovich.
Yeah, that would make sense. Because if you don't know how to play, you'll always be in the ground, so might as well learn how to play underground.
There you go.
But no, it is one thing I've noticed about Tekken. Like, it's not very systems heavy. Like, your systems in Tekken are, you have a rage art, you have a launcher, you have a low parry, you have guarding, you have throwing, and you have pokes. I'd say pokes are like a basic system because almost everybody has the same poke speed. But if you look at something like Guilty Gear, you know, you have stuff like Faultless Defense, Blitz Shield, Supers, Burst, Hellfire Mode, Roman Cancels. Like, there's a lot of systems, so it almost feels like, because it's system heavy, you know, you don't have that many moves on individual characters, even if their playstyles are distinct. Whereas Tekken is very light on the base systems, but then it offloads all the complexity and all the depth onto the characters, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
And if you were to compare it to something like, say, They're Alive, for example, They're Alive also has a very long move list for all characters, but because it has much more base systems, like how the rock paper scissors you know, throw, strike, hold thing works, how the holds have different heights and directions and all those other things, You can kind of learn those base systems and get by knowing them very well and then knowing the actual characters a bit less well. Like, you can get farther than in Tekken, say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know how, like I would, like... I mean, it's not like something that Tekken is to solve, but it's more like, I don't know how to approach this. That's kind of, like, my fundamental problem.
I mean, it feels like... I'm not going to say... I mean, absolutely there are players who can play any fighting game they want, right? I'm not here to say they can't. But it does feel like there is, like... If you're a Tekken pro, you're kind of just a Tekken pro, right?
Yeah.
Like, you play other games, but, like, Tekken is your game. Speaking as myself, I think I have a newfound appreciation for it. I think it's cool. I don't think Tekken is my game.
Mm-hmm. But you don't hate it anymore.
No. Yeah, and that's... I mean... There was literally a point not too long ago in my life where if someone asked me what my least favorite game was, I would say Tekken.
Mm-hmm.
I really, there was so much about it that I just bounced off of really hard. And, you know, I'm fucking 30 years old. I've learned some shit. I've learned to be less of a child and, approaching it with a more open mind, trying to see it's like... what it does well, rather than just going and being like, this is different and therefore I don't like it. I found a lot really interesting about it and a lot, I think, to like, but overall just not my groove, baby.
I do think it's more knowledge heavy than I'm used to in fighting games. Like, obviously, if you want to get really good at any fighting game, you need to learn a lot. But... Mm-hmm. I feel like if you want to be decent at Tekken, you... And when I say decent, I don't mean, like, within your playgroup. I mean, like, if you want to play online on the, you know, medium ranks, you need to learn much more. It almost feels like a MOBA in that respect to me, where you have to just learn so many things, like so many combinations, so many loadouts, so many characters, so many strategies. It's just... And that's not something I jive with that much, but I do feel like I know it at least enough now that I can kind of keep playing it, and maybe eventually, if I stick with it, I'll learn enough to actually learn the fundamentals. But the game doesn't make it easy. Like, it almost feels like...
No.
Okay, I'm not going to use Dark Souls as a comparison. I was about to. It almost feels like the game is... Here's what it is, take it or leave it. Like, there's no real onboarding. If you really want to learn to play the game, you're going to have to, you know, dig out videos, streams, forum posts, wikis, and just break down everything. Like, that's... And like, that's all on you. Whereas, like we said in the previous episode when we talked about Tekken, A lot of other fighting games at least give you that, like, starting point. Like, you feel like there is enough in this game that I have purchased that if I were to go through everything, I would have a decent understanding of how the game works.
And they're adding frame data as DLC, and that pisses me off.
Is it, like, paid DLC, or...?
Yes.
That's ridiculous. That's paid DLC. I thought it was going to be... Is that, like, that's not an update? That doesn't make sense that you would put that as DLC.
I'm pretty sure that's part of the latest season pass.
Let me actually look at that. Detailed frame data in a future Season 3 update, which will be a paid feature allowing players to see how safe or unsafe a character's move is during practice mode. Like, are they going to block YouTube videos that... record every single move then? Or like Doubt or it, like just... season to send a cease and desist to wikis that are gonna have the frame data? Like, that seems ridiculous to me.
Yeah, it seems like, I don't know, people got on, like, I feel like there's been ire around this similarly in Dota, when Dota was like, hey, we've got our new, like, plus assistant and we'll give you extra data about your play. And it's like, you can't lock that stuff behind a paywall. That's just shitty.
It is. I mean, like, even NetherRealm games just give you the frame data.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one thing NetherRealm is actually quite good at.
But... yeah, well, it's kind of... you know, the part that feels shitty to me in this regard is Harada, many, many years ago, I don't know if he still believes in that, but many years ago, he went on record saying they don't want to publish frame data because that hurts the longevity of the game. Because if you tell people how stuff works, you will take away the time they need to figure it out, right?
Sure.
And in a vacuum, that completely makes sense. I don't think it actually makes sense in practicality of how the world or the gaming scene currently works. But,
right.
You know, making that as the official stance and then going, okay, sure, you can eat up the longevity of the game by buying DLC for it. It's just weird to me.
I mean, this is not a very nice thing for me to say about Harada, but that tracks with how I view Harada. Of him being like, fine, pay me.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know whose decision this is. I just think it's like the frame data should be something that's available to people because it helps only a specific group of people. And like, you probably have the frame data somewhere in the back. Maybe they actually did not catalog the frame data. I don't know, but I assume they do. If they do balance changes, it makes sense. So, I don't know. I feel like this should be a standard feature for fighting games. And it should be something like... you know when you have... when you play games like RPGs and they tell you what an ability does and you have like a little plus and you click the plus and it gives you the advanced description of it? I feel like that's the frame data attitude that fighting games should have. Here's how the basic move works. Do you feel confident looking at this? Be warned, it's kind of complicated if you don't understand it. And then you click it and you can like look at it. And if you don't understand it, then you'll know, oh, this obviously isn't named in me, so you won't care.
And just one other quick shot at the idea that it hurts the longevity of the game. You know it hurts the longevity of a game? Releasing the sequel. We're on Tekken 7. I think by the time frame data is no longer a problem, you'll have released Tekken 8. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I don't know. I disagree with that needing to be monetized. Like, that's pretty weird to me. And honestly, especially with how difficult Tekken is to penetrate. And I think that's one of the... so that's one of the weird things about Tekken... like, it is the biggest game, like the biggest fighting game franchise, and a lot of people play it. And because so many people play it, like, if you're, you know, a casual player, like, you know, you just want, like, Tekken as one of your fighting games, and you play it as a group at the office, or with your friends sometimes, over drinks, or whatever, you know, you can all be bad, but you're all gonna have a good time, because you're pressing buttons and things are happening.
Sure.
So, in a way, those people, like that target audience, doesn't really need or would actually engage in the tools that improves them. Like, they're probably not the type of people who are gonna, you know, go through the entire tutorial, combo challenges, look at their character's frame data, enter practice mode. They're not that target audience, and that, like, most of the people who buy, you know, Tekken probably play it on that level. But for people who play fighting games and want to get into fighting games, those are kind of resources that they would appreciate. But maybe they don't want to go, you know, the extra mile of, you know, digging through various communities and forums and, you know, videos and whatnot to figure everything out. Like, when I play a fighting game, I'm kind of like, okay, I want to figure it out. So I go through all the resources in the actual game, and then I start looking online. But with Tekken, it's just like there's no fundamental step, so I also don't know what I'm looking for. Like, that's almost like the more important thing. It's not really about that I need to, you know, take the time and learn it myself. The bigger problem is, where do I go? Like, there's nothing in the game giving me direction. But, you know, Tekken's really good regardless, and I guess it can rest on its laurels for probably, you know, a few more sequels.
Yeah. Yeah. Tekken 10. That's when they're going to break shake things up.
I mean, there aren't really that many 3D fighting games that you could call competition, right? You have Soul Calibur, which is very fundamentally different and also owned by Namco. And you have DOA, which, you know, isn't doing itself any favors in how presentable it's making itself towards other people. So, you know, we don't have Virtua Fighter. We don't have the several dozen 3D fighting games for the PS1 era. Mortal Kombat is now 2D. So, you know, like, you don't have any competition. Like, that's practically a genre of its own, and they just own it.
Well, I've been led to believe that the next Xbox will be backwards compatible with all previous Xbox games, which means the return of Tao Feng Fist of the Lotus for Xbox.
Actually, if that's true, that actually means we can play Bloody Roar, but we probably won't have online. Actually, wait, will it have online? Yeah, it was an Xbox game. It probably did have online, but it probably doesn't have servers.
And even if it didn't, I bet they'll do the PlayStation already has the, like, you know,
a remote play thing.
Remote play thing. I'm sure they'll do some version of that on Xbox. And hopefully their netcode will be better.
maybe. I mean, I would like Bloody Roar. I think, like, the last Xbox one was something like Bloody Roar 3 or Bloody Roar Extreme or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, I kind of wish there were more fighting games, but there's no... I mean, what's the last big new name franchise that we had in fighting games? Like, an actual new name?
BlazBlue, I think.
BlazBlue was the last one, right? Like, I'm not going to count indie games as good as Skullgirls is.
Obviously, GrandBlue is happening in a month.
But... I don't really want to count that because that's based on a super big mobile IP.
That's fair.
In that case, you could also count Injustice, which... is honestly just like a spinoff of Mortal Kombat versus DC, as far as I'm concerned.
It's just a spinoff of just Mortal Kombat, as far as I'm concerned.
But... yeah, but like we haven't had like anything because like the genre is really, I'm going on a tangent here, but like the genre is pretty risky, and because the genre is risky, you have to go with established IP or established licenses, and because you have to go with established stuff, we probably won't get a new 3D game for a while. So if you want to play a good 3D fighting game, you're stuck with either Tekken or Soul Calibur. Maybe they're alive if you can convince people. That's your three choices. So unless, you know, Sega brings back, I don't know, Fighting Vipers or Virtua Fighter or something like that, that's
it. Would be cool if they brought back Virtua Fighter. That was a good game.
I really like Virtua Fighter. I think I'm not particularly good at it, but Virtua Fighter is literally the... Virtua Fighter is literally Dead or Alive, but without the fan service. Like, I don't know if you've ever played Virtua Fighter, but it is, like, when you play it, you realize how much Dead or Alive took from it. Hmm. Which makes sense, because Itagaki always said that Virtua Fighter is one of the best 3D fighting games, and Tekken is trash.
I want them to make a new Virtua Fighter.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Now that I finally understand the appeal of 3D fighters, and I'm sitting here going, DOA is better than Tekken, I really want new Virtua Fighter.
Yeah, it would be... I mean, you can still get Virtua Fighter 5 on the PlayStation 3. I don't even know if the netcode is usable, but it's there.
I mean, listen, I've got a copy of
Yakuza
7. I could go play it right now.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually more up-to-date than the PlayStation 3 version, so that makes you think.
Yeah.
Makes you think how fucking dead it is.
Well, anyway, enough dawdling from us. I think we should take it to the designated promotion zone.
Yep. You go first.
Okay. So I am SixDetmar. You can find me on Twitter at SixDetmar, SixDetmar. If you want to find the work that I do, you should go to scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia. Just this last week, we finished up our Game of the Year awards. So we did a whole bunch of podcasts and some personal lists, and, you know, we don't have to talk about 2019 ever again. That's cool.
It wasn't 2019.
What?
You said 2018.
Oh, I thought I said 2019. Oh, yeah, sorry, 2019.
Maybe I misheard. Who knows? I'm sorry I ruined it for you.
It's okay. Don't worry. I'll even if I was wrong, I'll fix it in dubbing so you sound like a fool.
Okay. Anyway, you can find me on Twitter MDK II, that's MDK Roman numerals 2. There's a pin there with a lot of stuff I do. You can also follow me on twitch.tv/realsylvianbear, where we stream all sorts of games, fighting and non-fighting. And there's also a link to a Discord server you can join and hang out at. And other than that, I also just wanted to say that we usually try to do these once a month, but recently, and probably for a certain period of time, that might not be exactly once per month. It might be more like once every month and a half. But we'll try to cover new stuff as it comes out.
Yeah, we're both, you know, new year, new us, and the new us is busy. So, you know, it's going to be a little less frequent, but, you know, we're not disappearing on you.
Yeah, so catch you all next time. Bye-bye.
Peace.